to the elderly. His preliminary conclusions are right down the line. He will tell you that their final report won't be ready till December. I don't think if I were you, I would indicate to him that you plan to go early with anything. Just listen to what he has to report, which I think you'll see will say that property tax is bad, but it's particularly bad for the elderly. And there is a way of doing this, and it's tax credits. We're working on a total revamp of the relationship of taxes.
Should we say that?
No, he will say that to you, that that's what they're doing. And you can just sit down and listen to this. At the end, just say, if I understand correctly, what you're really going to propose eventually is a comprehensive realignment of the relationship between federal, state, and local taxation. And that is really what's coming out of this. They're doing a damn interesting piece of work. And so he'll say yes, and you say keep up the good work. And I don't want you to hurry this on account of the election. I don't think there's any need for it politically or for any other reason. At the same time, we're going to reserve all of our prerogatives and just send him on his way. It's in the nature of an interim report.
Yeah.
But it's taking a very interesting bounce. And the principal finding, the property tax load carried by elderly householders appears so heavy as to constitute a national scandal.
She read that to us.
That's the finding of the ACIR. Schultz did that. I don't think Weinberger did.
Schultz doesn't know that.
Yeah. If Schultz, under cross examination of the committee, left the door open to defense cuts.
Yeah. The defense cuts, that's something we'll make, but not, you cannot get into the any kind of numbers or anything like that. I mean, could he take the pressure on some matter? He should sit out on my comment.
Well, Weinberger's been pretty good about it. Weinberger and Laird and I have all been talking about this.
You understand the problem there? Yeah, I want to give the defense issue away.
Absolutely.
Goddamn, he talks about it, we can't talk.
Right.
If you ever get this again, you can say, no, that's not. Sure. Yes.
We all get it.
Yeah, no. Never give an inch on
the only little crack that we've had, Schultz is part of the Ways and Means Committee here. No. He didn't use any numbers. He just admitted the possibility that there could be cuts. And we've always hard line. But Cap was up there the next day. He got it back in shape. Oh, sure.
He's a personnel guy, but not in terms of such.
We don't talk about
the number of carriers. It's the strategic importance of the company.
Well,
Schultz is that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, I think he now knows. Cap was up there the next day.
Do you think you have an adequate staff? numbers, but how do you feel about the direction of both of
yours? Very.
You watch them carefully yourself. You know, the one thing I've always thought about these groups is that the staff really does the work, and the top guy, of course, comes in. But you've been around government enough.
Yeah.
Not to let that happen to you.
Well,
in other words, I don't mean on
no,
the
no,
$5 would be that would have been approximately the median income of $53 and $12
Yes.
Would have been
in court. And we're going to, I'm sure, recommend that there be developed some mechanism to involve what I have referred to as a national fiscal policy, where maybe our own commission will, in effect, what you've asked us to do is forcing us to think we won't turn that to December. We're, as you can see, these studies are so tremendously voluminous and subject to complication.
Well, you couldn't get all your people together to collect the election anyway. That's my guess.
And there are a number of them who, like you, are presenting themselves to the public. Every Friday. We've got
pop governors.
We've got the Holy versus
Guardians. You can't do a damn thing.
Very tough. Fight for the late sports, I give it encouraging. Turning to the specific areas. This next sheet summarizes our preliminary thinking on school financing, and that is that if you look at school financing problems simply on its own, I think we would, and without reference to the courts, we would say that the states could handle the matter themselves. But I'm not talking now about the property tax and ways of getting relief. I'm simply talking about the court decision saying that property tax is not the right financing means. But I think we will probably end up recommending perhaps a modest program of federal aid for state school finance reform to stimulate them to get going. This really is what the McElroy Commission was talking about. But with some kind of a self-construct mechanism, so that as dollars come into the local communities from revenue sharing and possibly even from welfare, if that is ever agreed upon, that this school financing assistance program would phase out.
I gather ACIR is biased in favor of federal takeover of welfare.
Yes, John, that's one of the things that they've been.
Is that a SAF bias primarily?
No,
is that because of the governors
and
the others that are on there?
The governors and mayors in particular who see these rather substantial bites going out for something over which they have absolutely no control.
Yeah.
And is this where virtue really is not rewarded, because if you do a good job of making benefit payments, then you attract more people into your communities. The next, Mr. President, is just a quick summary of our preliminary look at the property tax and problems that are confronted by it. First of all, the obvious that it is by far and away the most popular of all taxes. We had quite a discussion of this last year. No question about it, and we did a public opinion poll which confirmed it rather strikingly. Part of it, of course, is its visibility. You pay it in one or two or
was it
four
installments.
Well, that really wasn't a poll. That was this Johnny Rhodes platform committee canvas of selected Republicans. And you run into the sort of the Roger Freeman syndrome, I think, when you
know what it was.
Yeah. There are a lot of, the Milton Friedman and Roger Freeman and some of these fellows say property tax is a nifty tax. And I'm sure from a theoretical standpoint that's so, and they got into a heavy vein of people who believe that way. But it was not a poll.
It's your poll. Your poll, Bob, indicated that.
If you look at page 3, Mr. President, this is some of the results of it right there. 45% of the
people's listed as the least fair tax, the local property tax, the Mexican city is presented.
You keep talking about the visibility of it. I've heard you say that before. Do you have any figures or staff develop any figures as to what percentage of people actually pay their property tax in 2 bites a year as opposed to having it made as a part of their mortgage payments?
No, we haven't.
It'd be an interesting thing to find out, I think, to see.
Yeah, I probably have some figures I just haven't seen.
It's interesting that they go for the sales tax.
It's very interesting.
It's true in many, many states. The government has beaten the hell out of several governors. The rest of the sales tax is considered to be as equitable as the income tax.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
Yeah. It's a very strange, and it's quite a turnaround. The problem with the property tax reform or reduction, Mr. President, lies in several things. First of all, there's wide variation in its use, and this chart which is behind the summary. Constitutions make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to classify property. And therefore, if you were to examine residential property, for example, you'd have to have a constitutional amendment in maybe as many as, well, at least 16 of the states, and maybe as high as 24. So if you've got an actual constitutional problem of exempting one class of property. A third problem is that unless you actually require, as a condition of property tax relief, require that the tax rate actually be cut, the indications in some of the states that have tried at the state level is that the local governments quickly eat up the tax rate, and you're right back where you started from. Now, the thought of trying to mandate through the Congress tax rates at, 10,000 taxing districts or whatever, it would be a nightmare, frankly. So we've been wrestling with how you get a handle on this property, very, very frankly, with you, and we're not totally certain that we see the way. There are two things, however, Mr. President, that are beginning to emerge. One is that you now do have a form of property tax relief in the deductions which people are allowed for their tax payment on their federal income tax. But our studies show this is really one of the loopholes that your opponent likes to talk about. But this is one he's forgotten about. Because actually, the people who itemize their deductions are the higher income people, and most of the middle and lower income families take a standard deduction. So that actually what you're getting a disproportionate help to those who need it the least with the deduction method. We're looking at the whole possibility of tax credits, as distasteful as I know this is. I used to bargaining on anybody or make a credit.
Everyone had to have tax credits for education. Private schools, you go here, and where you hold them in the Ontario administration.
Yeah, I know,
they said that because of the money, it wasn't that, it was a principle.
I would think that if the commission may very well come up with the idea of tax cuts, not just for the property tax, but for all state and local taxes, and this provides a mechanism for equalization between federal and state and local taxes, which is pretty good. Now, the problem is you're talking about a big bite of money.
If you took all.
Well, yeah, if you took a 50% credit, for example, on all state and local taxes, I think the figure that they come up with is that it would cost about $12 or $13 billion, so that is a very big bite. Now, if you took 25% credit, you're down to maybe $6 billion. That's still a lot of.
What are you talking about? Property tax alone.
Property tax alone, that's 40% of the state and local taxes, so
we'll get down 50%.
Yeah, you could do, but you could get down to 2.5, 2.5, 3 billion.
More manageable number.
Yeah.
If you wanted to start on something.
The other area, Mr. President, that we have identified as really a serious one is the whole question of the elderly property tax. And this is one that you might want to consider fairly early in the game. There are now, Mr. President, shows that there are over a million. Now these are just owner-occupied single-family houses, but just in that category alone, there are over 1 million elderly families who earn total family income less than $2,000 a year. That's pension and Social Security and what have you.
Less than $2,000.
Yeah. And who pay on a national average nearly 16% of their total income for property taxes.
Let's get that number down. 2 million. How many? A million.
280,000.
We have 2,000 less than the goddamn welfare people get.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. And they
pay. That's really the truth. I mean,
they pay.
When you talk about the last scheme of government, which provides 4,000 for welfare, not for the working poor, it doesn't even address its citizens. It means you get $4,000 to every family of four on welfare. Yeah. And here are a million older Americans earning $2,000 or less who are paying taxes to help those lazy people
they're paying property tax, that's for sure.
Huh?
They're paying property tax.
Yeah, the welfare recipients are?
Now these folks.
Hell, they are.
Cut them out of income tax. They don't pay.
I know, but the property tax takes 14% of their income.
Yeah, 15.8, almost 16.
Well, that's, yeah, this is the real crushing.
And in the Northeast, Mr. President, if you're
where they are,
almost 30% of the, on the average, almost 30% of those people's income goes to property tax.
This is also total income, isn't it? It's not total income.
No. But in reality, it's for people like Vermont, Massachusetts,
yeah, who are on Social Security, or
well, there's a hell of a lot of older people there too. There, and the number of people in the, and incidentally, isn't it true that now, indeed, the number of older people in the Northeast is even greater than Florida, California? Curious. I think that's true.
What does the last column mean, Bob? Percentage distribution.
I mean, people in Florida and California, what I meant, particularly Florida, the people who go down there and retire are a little better off. The people that live in the Northeast are the poor folks, poor old folks.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I think that's right. Then there's another million that earn less than between $2,000 and $3,000. And they're paying almost 10% of their taxes.
What I would like to see is to see the people that say pay the poor. They get up to $4,000, that's my job. And let's see this thing studied out in terms of the old folks. I'd like to see a piece of paper on that.
Well, I just have to have a piece of paper with
me.
And this next
chart, Mr. President,
shows Minnesota, 14 states, and now Illinois, 15th, have enacted what they call circuit breaker legislation, meaning that this is designed to have the state take over the payments, in effect, of these property taxes of certain of low-income elderly families. And they do it in a variety of ways, sometimes as a refund, and sometimes actually an advance payment from the state to the local tax body, so the local body doesn't lose the taxes, but the taxes are paid by the state for the individual, if you will, or on behalf of Minnesota, for example, this is how this so-called circuit breaker concept has worked. And what you see is that the low-income family, the senior family, has 95% of his tax abated. As he gets up to the 4,700 to 5,000 range, only 5% is abated, and then it phases out altogether. So your figure of 4,000 was very close to what they're using. They go up to 5,000, but that was, some of the states have gone to 4, and some, well, mostly between 4 and 5,000 is where they had cut off on the income. Now, I feel, Mr. President, that there could well be recommended, even now, were you so inclined, a concept in which there would be a federal circuit breaker plan. Rather than supplant the state program, we would suggest that the federal government could match states which had circuit breaker property tax relief for the elderly on a 50-50 basis, let's say. And if you assumed roughly a $4,200 income cutoff or somewhere in that level, the cost would be about $600, the federal cost would be about $600 million a year, but you're really providing relief for those who are suffering the most.
I mean, this would go to the states, you said, or would it go to the individuals? You talk about a tax credit.
No, this would not be a tax credit.
This allows the states to make a tax credit.
This allows the states to actually make a tax payment, either directly to the local taxing body or to the individual who has paid the taxes. The old timer goes down to an office, he signs up, and then he pays a certain portion of his tax, and the state pays the rest, is the way that works. Is that right, Bob?
No, well, that's one way.
Yeah,
that's the way they have it.
I think the usual system is the old person files an affidavit with the income tax people. It doesn't go through welfare, Mr. President. This is done all through the income tax departments, and he files an affidavit that he has an income of under $4,200, let's say. He gives him a receipt for his property tax payment, which was $200, let's say. And the state income tax department then sends him a check for the $200. That's one way. Or the other way is he sends the tax bill to the state income tax, and they actually send the money directly to the local taxing body. Can go either way. But in no way is he identified as a welfare. This is
very important. And what about this? There's also another way you could do this.
He doesn't have to have a social
another
worker.
Another way you could do it is just be straight out tax credit.
The trouble is a lot of these, Mr. President, won't be filing income taxes. Return receipt.
Yeah, how the net. So
or they'll take a standard deduction. Because when
there's
that
problem,
that small income, why they don't.
The problem with the tax credit is that it doesn't take care of the family deduction.
No, sir.
And it also doesn't take care of people that don't file.
What about that deduction?
You would have to send them a cash rebate.
Well,
that's done anyway.
Tax credit.
Yeah.
Program.
Yeah.
But no, but what I meant is, let's take somebody earning $2,000
right.
File an income
tax. Well, he would in this case to get his rebate.
So suppose he did earn $2,000.
Right.
And pays the property tax.
Right.
All right, how do you take care of him or his
form of loss? He filed short form with the Federal Internal Revenue Service for a federal tax credit, and he'd actually get a cash payment from the federal government.
That'd be one way to do it.
That's if you go to the total tax.
Yeah, now for instance, that's done now. For instance, if a Social Security recipient makes $1,100 and he has a certain amount of tax withheld, he files a short form income tax return in order to get his withholding returned to him. You see? And he gets a check from the federal government because he didn't have to pay any tax. So it's not a completely foreign procedure.
Your procedure, Bob, has a compliment. It's a little personal. credit, he gets it directly. With the other, this circuit breaker scheme, it's a little more confused. Or
right.
How can you handle the duly circuit breaker thing so that the tax, so that the older person who receives it knows he's getting it directly from the federal government as a result of this action?
Well, he would be getting really under the proposal that I had drawn up here, half of it from the center.
Yeah, and half of it. Whatever it is, yeah, so.
He gets a check.
But he gets it from home, the state.
Well, it would have to be from the state, yes. But
as a result,
he don't know where it was coming from. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
You prefer the circuit breaker scheme to the tax credit scheme?
For the elderly.
For the elderly, just referring to the elderly alone now.
I think it's
circuit breaker or tax credit.
I would go with the circuit breaker route because it's very simple. There have been enough states adopted now that it's a known program, 15 of them. It's been very popular because of where it has been adopted. It doesn't get into all the arguments you're going to get into when somebody recommends tax credits, so that's going to start a major, a real value for it, let's face it.
Yeah.
When that subject comes up, as I indicated, I think in our opinion, eventually this is going to have to be done generally for taking over taxes. But
you think that down the road you're recommending the tax credit for all of those states?
Well, I'm seeing that beginning to shape up. I never like to predict what 26 diverse matter to, but
sure.
I think that's appropriate. This, Mr. President, there are actually bills in Congress now. Paul Finley has been promoting this circuit breaker concept. And although he's been talking about a national, you could have a direct payment by the federal government to the property taxpayer.
Yeah.
That's what his bill provides.
Yeah.
And that's really what you were suggesting. Our commission, which likes to see as many things as possible go through the state so that they get into the ballgame, if you will, would favor the joint approach.
Yeah.
But it could be done as a direct payment by the federal government to the other.
Accomplish the same purpose here.
Really. But this is such a when you see these figures, it's such a startling fact that our staff boys said they thought this was a national scandal. Used that word.
It is worse than I thought it was.
It's in 2000.
When I say have an income of $2,000 or less, how in the hell do they live? How in the name of God do those people live?
And
of course, they got Medicare. You know, that's enough. Now they can hardly pay.
Well, a fellow can live pretty well on $2,000 in some parts of the South.
Well, no, these are the Northeast.
But those folks in the Northeast,
they live. Of course, there are four states, the Vermont, Maine, the rest. You see those old folks around. It is a scandal.
Yeah.
It's a damn scandal. Particularly when you see these people on welfare. I mean, let's face it. I mean, do these people get food stamps?
Some of them.
$2,000.
We're trying to find a lot of them to get them nutritional aids now.
Well, for God's sake, Mrs. Nixon, why don't we get food stamps to these people? At least that food stamp program isn't worth a goddamn.
Well,
as you well know. Now, let's at least give it to
helping some of those people.
Let's give it to all of them. And, you know, when we get to these welfare recipients, they need to buy food.
Part of the problem here is that a lot of these old folks won't go in and apply.
That's the trouble.
You know, the trouble.
It's charity.
Sure.
Well, they'll have to find another way.
Well, we're on that. That's Project
Fine.
We're on that right now. And, Bob, could I shift to the value added for just a minute so that you have a little feel of what we're up to? There's been so much speculation about the value added that we're deliberately killing it to the extent that we can.
We don't want people to all think they're going to get it because we're not that far down the road.
We want to.
We may never have it.
That's it. We want to leave it in a very, very uncertain, conditional kind of state. And so we've been throwing cold water all over it here.
Well, I've seen.
Yeah, as far as your group
is getting out of hand,
as far as your group is concerned, they aren't certainly hot for value added, are they?
Well, let me tell you where my group is, and then I have my personal comments if I may, Mr. President. The commission, I am sure, even after the election, is going to recommend against the value added tax.
That's all we need to know.
Because it has
majority elected officials out of there.
Right, and they take up the sales tax.
Yeah.
Right.
Personally, Mr. President, I hope, as John has just suggested, that your options are kept open, because I think it can be made into a useful tax, and that someday we may have to use it, not exactly when, or for what purpose, I don't know, but I've gone into it sufficiently to satisfy myself on two things. Number one, the regressive stinger, and it really can be taken out. And number two, it's easy to administer. I have to throw the law on that. December, two full days.
That's funny.
Trying to pound all this. this together, so they'll have something for you by the first of the year.
Before you meet in December, I think it would be important that we have a president to you that gives you a little feeling of how our thoughts are about what they have. Maybe you can guide them a bit, you know, and they can guide you. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
There's no use to just throw out a beautiful report.
Yeah.
And Lou,
we'll have some better thinking in time for that. We'll know a little bit more. Schultz may know some more.
Lou will stay in close touch right through this time.
But we want you to know that this is one question that will have some effect in the future.
Yeah. I think.
I appreciate
you.
Oh, I get $50 a day.